Good morning.
Good morning.
I am grateful to be with you today, and especially on such an auspicious and beautiful day as this, Christ entering into Jerusalem, one of the holiest days of the year. And we gather together as a believing community here in Dallas, Texas, in commemoration of the Lord's entry. By this point in Scripture, if you have been following things carefully as you're leading up to this point, by the time that Jesus Christ was entering into Jerusalem, the people were waiting to see what was the next thing that was going to come. Yesterday, we heard the beautiful story of the raising of Lazarus. And when you hear the story very carefully and very vividly, there are some distinct features of this scripture passage that are quite memorable. First and foremost, Lazarus was a friend. It is always described that he was the friend of Christ. Secondly, we hear the story of Martha and Mary, sisters of Lazarus. And we know for ourselves, if you have any siblings, when anything comes across or anything befalls you, our siblings always feel very awful about it. They want to do anything they can to help you. And especially if your parents aren't around or whatever the situation is, your siblings always want to come to your aid no matter what the situation may be. And in this opportunity that we hear, Martha and Mary are standing by the tomb. And when Christ arrived, because they had already sent word to him, and when he arrived, there was dialogue that took place between them. And Martha and Mary had said, "If you were here, this would not have happened." Christ responded, "I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the resurrection." And if we as Orthodox Christians truly believe in that, this understanding of faith as to why we are here today becomes even more magnified. It talks about also something very specific. Jesus Christ himself expressed his human nature. When somebody dies in our life that is very important to us, that grieving process takes place. And it's not unusual for people to cry. I know that all of us somewhere along the line have lost somebody that's very close and very special to us. And when we hear this story, it talks very specifically, and it's just two words. Jesus wept. He expressed his human dignity. He talked about what was taking place. And when Christ cried for his friend, at that moment he regained composure, and immediately after that he cried out to heaven and asked for what was to take place. There's something very specific that takes place in the story of Lazarus. It's spelled out in Scripture when it says he was dead for 4 days. You see, the prophecies talk about when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was going to rise, and it says in 3 days. Now, how can people believe that? You have this one individual who's been dead for 4 days, and he's about to rise from the dead. We have this other individual, Jesus Christ himself, after 3 days that we know next Sunday we celebrate his glorious resurrection. We know a number of us, perhaps, who may be doctors, physicians, whatever the situation is, and we know other situations that have taken place within hospitals where people have died, if you will, even if it's just for a moment, and they are brought back to life. Now imagine at that moment for Lazarus himself in the grave for 4 days, air circulating through his lungs again, his heart beating again, blood circulating, all these things, and bringing him back to life. The concern of the people was something that was very practical. I'm sure that all of us, myself now living in Denver and coming from Baltimore, when you have a dead mouse in your house, that is quite a smell now, isn't it? Now imagine for just a second the smell of a dead body that's been in the grave for 4 days without embalming, refrigeration, and all these other things. And when Lazarus came out of the tomb, there was no aroma, there was no anything other than a live person standing in front of these people. What's important to know is people were waiting to see what the next thing was that Christ was going to do when he entered into Jerusalem. He healed the blind man. He raised the paralytic. He raised the daughter of a very strong kinsman, and all these other beautiful miracles that had taken place, and they were waiting to see what was the next thing that was going to happen. when he entered into Jerusalem on a colt, as was fulfilled by the prophecy, and he entered into that holy city, it wasn't just any place that he went. He went right through the main gate, reserved only for kings, reserved only for those of authority and everything else, and he went right through there riding on a white colt. The people inside of there, and especially the children, were taking the boughs of palms and laying them on the ground, and we know the story, how it ends up. What we need to note, though, is after this glorious event that took place, eventually, people came against him. These false witnesses, this fake trial, all these other things that were taking place and eventually leading to his crucifixion. You see, we're inside of a church today because we're here for a specific reason. Christ is calling us to be here. All are invited. It's very specific in what is happening. And I always have been laughing, especially during this Lenten season, when people have come to me and said, "Our Easter is so late." Our Easter's not late. We're on time. Everyone else is early. But we have these specific situations in our lives right now that have this understanding as to why the importance is to be here today. It's more so to strengthen our faith. It's more so to come closer to Christ. It's more so above everything else than to live the faith that has been entrusted to you. I will tell you just some simple words. Christ was fearless, absolutely fearless. He accepted that crucifixion. He did all of these things without any fear, trusting in God. Now, I know today we've had quite the storms here in the Dallas Metroplex area. Last night in my hotel room, I was awakened by the fireworks of lightning strikes that were taking place. And I know for ourselves, we have always just some sort of an excuse why to stay home, to sleep in, to pull the covers up, and all these other things. Trust me, there are some Sunday mornings, I will confess to you, I'm sure you won't share this with anyone, where there's some Sunday mornings, I think a little twice about things where I'd like to have a cup of coffee and read the newspaper like every other person does. But the reason we're here is to strengthen our faith. All of those things will be waiting for us when we go back. All of these things will be prepared for us when we return, and it's here for ourselves that we renew our faith in everything else. Just as the church is crowded today and is full of today, as these betrayals start taking place and we hear these false witnesses and all these other things, those people that were following Christ second-guessed everything, started leaving him alone, started to let him be by himself. Only his apostles were following him, and even one of those was to betray him. And one by one, they began stepping away. And those crowds of people that were following him were the same ones that were saying to crucify him. The same thing happens tonight. I can pretty much guarantee, after serving and being a priest for nearly 30 years of my life, that the bridegroom service tonight will be pretty empty. I can pretty much guarantee that even as the weeks leading up, the same thing, and we get a lot more crowded when we hit Holy Thursday and Holy Friday. I'm challenging you as faithful people. Don't let Christ hang on the cross alone. Don't let Christ be crucified by himself. Stand by his side. And all of these troubles, anxieties, and everything else that is lying in our hearts, leave them at the foot of the cross. I promise you, your day will be much better, your life will be much better, and you open your eyes and everything else that is taking place. Be faithful people to what Christ is telling you to do. And above everything else, love the Lord with everything inside of you. Trust me when I tell you that I pray for you and I pray for all of our communities. But please know that you and this parish always remain in my prayers, and I pray that our Lord continues to bless you and this community and everything in which you are doing. I pray that God blesses you and strengthens you in all things. Let us continue with the Divine Liturgy.